Hi, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up on the Chuck and Julie Show. Got another great show for you today.
Sponsored by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, and Senegenics of Denver. We'll tell you a little bit more about them in a second, but ColoradoCitizenPress.com, one of the sites we check every day.
Lot going on today.
Breaking news, basically, Governor Polis just held a news conference in which he basically said he was going to suspend the license of that Castle Rock restaurant that was open and was packed for a Mother's Day, which is completely arbitrary and capricious. There are plenty of other restaurants that have opened. There are plenty of other businesses that have opened. I guess Polis and his committee that is made up of people who are all still getting paychecks just hate it when the businesses say, well, we have the audacity to try to earn a living. So there's that. We're bringing up to speed on some of the reopened Colorado stuff as well. If you're a restaurant, man, you just got screwed by the governor of Colorado today. He said he's got to wait, even though they've been open for 2 weeks, and I'm ranting right now, Chuck, so we'll get on your rant in a second.
Okay.
But even though we've been open, the stay-at-home order, which was stupid, has been lifted to the safer-at-home order for 2 weeks now.
Extended.
Well, no giant surge, no spike, no nothing.
Well, no, it's all gone down. I think four deaths yesterday.
Which are the deaths? I mean, if you like, you could still.
It's hit by a refrigerator.
It's like Monty Python. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead. And people are like, I'm not dead yet. Yes, it is. You died of coronavirus. Sorry to tell you that. But he extended restaurants, spas, gyms, workout places like that have to be closed. Summer camps have to be closed at least until May 25th. And then he's going to come down from the mountaintop and issue his edict then. It is just
And how do parents supposed to plan for that?
Oh.
Does he care?
No,
he doesn't care. I have to say, listening to his news conference.
Oh, he's scared about flying. Give me a break.
But he's going to go beg for money from Trump.
Which is still our money, by the way. That also annoys me. Right. But anyway, there's a whole other
which rant. We won't get any of, and just his buddies and friends and who knows whoever is, you know, official privileged class in the Democratic Party. But listening to him is amazing process for me because, one, he's not unintelligent. In fact, he's bright. When he gives these ones, he articulately gives facts and statistics.
Has nice charts,
but he says nothing.
No,
he says absolutely nothing, and it's just garbage, just endless garbage. One point says, "So when are we going to open back up?" And you go, "Yeah, when are we going to go back up?"
Good question.
I just get outraged watching him. I just do because he's just babbling. He's babbling. You know, not unintelligible, but he's not really advance anything. I mean, he's 1,000 times worse than Cuomo, and Cuomo killed 5,000 people, but
yeah,
it's just infuriating.
There's zero reason. And you know, all these people who are complaining about the restaurant Castle Rock, I'm sorry, we're ranting right now before we get to Obamagate, but if you don't like it, don't go into the restaurant. I get that some people are scared, that some people are worried, that some people feel vulnerable. Fine, I understand that. Don't go into the restaurant. Vote with your feet. If you want to go to the restaurant, go to the restaurant. Some stupid doctor, and I'm sorry, but tweeted some picture of a full United plane, and even Fox News had the headline, frightened passengers. The passengers aren't frightened. There's one guy on his cell phone. They're all sitting there. Guess what? If any of those people really felt their lives are in danger,
don't go on the plane.
Don't go on the plane. I'm just betting they wouldn't have got on the plane. You don't have to fly.
Who decided they were frightened?
Exactly. Just the doctor, some dumb doctor who, by the way, was on the plane, is tweeting, everyone's frightened here. It's like, did he survey everybody? So anyway, that's saving that rant for later. We got Karen Candling coming on to talk about all of the reopen and the May 1st stuff, which, I thought maybe we could stand down a little bit. I was wrong. This is a time to ramp it up. But on to the other stuff we wanted to talk today about, because this is good news, really.
It's good news. I mean, it's partial news, really.
Right.
There's only two subjects, whether local or national. It's coronavirus, whether it's local or national. And nationally, you have the inevitable Russiagate and what's new there. And we've got a tremendous amount of information, 6,000 pages of transcripts from I guess it's 2017, 2018 of every major player. In addition, we got
testifying at the House Intelligence Committee, which has been secret. And now we know why Schiff was keeping them secret.
Well, I never quite figured out why I was stuck at the DNI's office. Now, Grinnell just recently took over the DNI. So before that, you had all these deep state people who had every reason to want to work with the Democrats and keep it hidden. But now it's all come out, and you have the 20 pages plus all the exhibits.
And why they dropped General Flynn's case.
General Flynn and so forth. So it's a lot of information, and so I thought I'd kind of give you our thoughts on what was the key ones that
Bottom line, it's worse than you thought.
It's always worse.
It's worse than you thought. But it is what we told you on the show back when we were at KNUS. So we were right.
Yeah, we were right. Until we got thrown off.
Well, you're still right. We just got thrown off. All right, walk us through it.
All right. Well, let's go take a before we go into that, we got Tara from Castle Rock online too.
Let's listen to her first. Hey Tara, thank you for calling in.
Hey, thanks. Did you guys hear about the CNC cafe that had 500 people, no social distancing yesterday, and they were at their restaurant?
Yes.
Did you hear the governor just said he's going to suspend their license indefinitely?
No, 30 days.
Indefinitely. Can you believe? And, you know, we have like 200 cases here and 10 deaths in Douglas County, which is one of the biggest counties in Colorado.
Right.
But people want to go out, and nobody there that went there, I didn't believe that there were 500 people. I couldn't believe that that was all day long. But
right.
They, can you believe that 500 people were not forced to go to a restaurant?
Yeah, right.
Well, get
not social distance.
Let me ask you this, Terrence. Here's what Paula said. I hope and I pray that no one dies as a result of that. I'm like, give me a break.
I hope no one dies suicide or alcohol or drug abuse. Endless garbage.
We don't need to rely on models anymore, right? We can look at actual facts and actual data. And the data is very high in that the 500 people who were there, unless they were old and infirm and on their deathbed anyway, pretty good chance they're not going to die of coronavirus, don't you think?
Exactly. And that's why my healthcare is. Kaiser is like literally across the parking lot from them. And I go there and I always go, oh, that's a cute little cafe. But I had no idea that 500 Castle Rock people would show up yesterday.
Right.
500.
Does
that tell you? And I have asthma and I have allergies and I'm a at-risk person, but I've been meeting my friends. I've been seeing people.
I hope and pray that no one doesn't find out about that.
I'm telling you, my alcohol bill is going to be more than my medical bill. Yeah.
No, you aren't kidding. You aren't kidding. And my hair when I keep trying to go. Well, that's the thing. You know, here's what I don't get, Tara, because the governor, they're just picking winners and losers. The other day I was thinking of this. Normally, when I would go to the liquor store, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm in and out in like really less than 5 minutes, right? But now, people could be coughing all over the place.
It's like all those
fine.
Contests back in the 1950s where you got everything you could collect in 5 minutes from the store. That's what Julie is. In 5 minutes, you
I'm
can
organized.
Empty out an entire liquor store.
But here's the thing. Now I'm in there like a half an hour because I got to stand in line. And we're all standing the same line in the same place. Same thing at the grocery store, right? Before I could get in and out in 20 minutes. Now it takes me 40. I'm standing in the little narrow aisles. We're all kind of crammed in there. I'm like, we were at more risk now than we were before. And same thing at this restaurant. If we're safe to go into any of these other places we can go in, I certainly think people can decide on their own whether they can make it at a restaurant. Don't you think?
I do. I think so too. And I'm really, I mean, I'm happy that people, 500 people, and they were at the max all day long for Mother's Day yesterday. I'm so happy for them. And those people who are not at risk, if I was really, like, really, really at risk, I'm a healthy asthmatic, but I would stay home, and I would want my mother to stay home, and I would want my obese grandmother or uncle to stay home. But you know what? If you're healthy, let's get over this.
Right. Well, because here's the thing, Tara, and that's why the people who say, oh, they're going to kill people, it's so ridiculous. We got it that the herd immunity concept is real, right? We cannot stay inside until there is zero trace of any kind of virus anywhere ever in the world again. I mean, that just will never happen.
Well, so, Bill Maher is not one of my favorites, but he's kind of, it's called the immune system. You know, if you're locked up in a bubble since the day you were born and they put you outside, you're dead because you've got no immune system.
Dead.
The idea that we all ought to just social quarantine ourselves in our homes until someday when we get a vaccine.
For everything.
And the vaccine, of course, are not 100% effective. They're like 50% effective for most viruses.
Right.
And we're going to wait till then. You know, the governor of Oregon is going to wait till June or till they get a vaccine. Well, good. I mean, you know, they can close down the state. But the pompousness of Polis and his happiness that he's got all this power and relevance.
Power.
Yes.
And do you remember, well, Bill Maher, I'm not a fan of him, but he is, you know, sometimes he's okay and all that. You know, 2 years ago, he said he hopes there's a collapse of the American system. He hopes, he can hardly wait for the collapse. And nobody's calling him out on that. Two years ago, Bill Maher said, we want this to collapse. We want to have something so horrible happen. And nobody's calling out on that. Well, he didn't predict a pandemic.
Right.
It's a financial.
Well, he also wanted a nice recession, so that would get rid of Trump.
Right.
I mean, but his one thing about the immune system, I have to agree with.
But Terry, hey, listen, thank you for calling. Yeah. Thank you for fighting for freedom too. We appreciate everything you do.
Thank you. You too. I miss you guys, and I'm so glad you're here 3 days a week.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We love being here, and we missed you guys too. 888-627-6008 is the number to call. Call in if you want to talk about that. Like I said, at 3:30, we'll get Karen Cavalline. We were kind of touching a little bit here too on the Obamagate, so you can call on anything, really.
But I thought about what we thought were important, or at least I thought was important, because there's a lot of information coming in, and it's hard to kind of, in my own mind, it's going, well, what's important here? But it seems to me that on Russiagate, it's based on two things. One, the collusion by all the Trump officials with the Russians, the Papadopoulos.
The accusations.
Well, there weren't any, but that's right. What they claim to be.
Right.
With Papadopoulos and Carter Page and Manafort and everything. And so we find out with the release of all the transcripts that the Obama administration knew there were no
zero
connections. None. Zero.
All
zero.
Of them testified. Yeah.
Well, whether it's Susan Rice, whether it's
James Clapper.
We know nothing.
We found nothing. There was nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Not that we didn't know. It's like there was nothing.
Well, they never found it. And so that leg of the Russiagate thing is now totally dissolved. The other leg to it is the DNC hack, which has always been a claim, and you get Hugh Hewitt, some other people. We must first admit that the Russians hacked the
DNC server.
No, we don't, Hugh.
Right. It was never hacked.
What are you talking about? And that's what our good friend Michael Tao has been screaming for a year and a half or 2 years. But we found out from there that CrowdStrike had no evidence that in fact there was any hack, anything had been exfiltrated, much less the Russians. They had no indication that anybody had hacked the computer.
Right.
And so we know that that is now teetering and about to fall, I think, with additional revelations.
It brings up Seth Rich. We won't even get into all of that.
Well, that's another one. Clevenger, the attorney for a guy who got sued by the Seth Rich family, says that he wrote a letter to Grinnell, the head of the DNA now, saying that he, on good reason and belief, the NSA has various of the phone calls from Seth Rich
to Julian Assange.
And so if that's true, and God, I hope it's true, then the other leg of this whole thing goes under.
Which I also knew.
And so that's really important information. And then the third part about it is, who is behind this whole thing?
Right.
Was it the deep state on its own? There's never been any proof that Obama
rogue FBI agents.
Well, you know, they
bad may, mood. You know, Jim McCabe.
Well, they may have, on their own view of the world, decided that we're going to take over this and do whatever. But now we find out, nope, it's good old Obama.
That's right.
Obama man comes on. We find out in October or January 5th, he has a meeting that was memorialized by Susan Rice. Throughout the whole thing, he knows more than most of the people at the meeting. Certainly knew all about the Kislyak transcript.
The fake Flynn accusations.
Well, they weren't fake Flynn or made up. It's hard to quite quantify them, kind of stewed up. And then he came out last week, and he said that this is terrible.
Well, wait, let me back folks up so you can, because it gets a little complicated. So what's happened, and we had Sidney Powell, who was General Flynn's lawyer, on our show when we were at KNUS, and we asked her several times when she was on the show, how high up do you think this goes? And she said repeatedly, all the way up to the president. We now know that that is true because some of the transcripts that have been released, we know it for two reasons. One, the transcripts that have been released Obama, this is after Trump has been elected, but he hasn't been sworn in yet, right? So it's one of the last meetings Obama has had. Biden is there, Brennan's there, Comey is there, Sally Yates is there, all of these top people from the DOJ and the FBI.
And Biden.
And Biden and the CIA. They're all there. They all go to leave. And then Obama tells the Department of Justice to stick Sally Yates to stay back with Jim Comey. And then
they're going to be continuing on past the swearing in of the new president.
And Obama tells her that, look, we've been spying on General Flynn and here's what we know. And at the time she said, she testified 2 years ago, she was flabbergasted by that she didn't know, but it's clear Obama knew. So Obama had information from the beginning that it was going on. And there was no, oh my God, Sally, I just found out Jim Comey's going off the reservation and he's doing this. It's like, no, it's like, here's what we are doing. I want you to continue spying on Trump after he takes office. And this is our whole plan to bring it down.
Sure, you keep the information away from Flynn if you ever.
Right. Oh, and by the way, we're doing this all by the book.
By the book, yeah. The book of treason, that's what the book is.
And now we know that I suspect something even worse is going to come out this week, because Obama has been silent about anything except vacation plans and Bruce Springsteen, right? I mean, and his Netflix thing, right? He hasn't talked very much publicly about anything. So he then specifically releases to the media, the friendly...
Not technically. Technically what he did is he had a conference call with 3,000 people and, you know, the Obama Alumni Association. And as David Axelrod said, this isn't his first rodeo. He was sure that it would get out.
Oh, he knew it would get out, right.
And only a small portion of it got out. I mean, if somebody really wanted to have something that would probably incriminate him more, he would have had the whole hour and a half, however long it was. But it came out, and Obama shows that he's rusty and not on top of the form. He said, I can't believe that somebody who is guilty of perjury gets off scot-free. Well, the charge was not perjury. It was lying to the FBI on 1001. And in fact, he pardoned General Cartwright, who's accused of the exact same 1001.
Except for that one case, I forgot about it.
Well, and he says that's never been, no one's ever gotten that before, except when I did it a few months ago, or a few years ago. I mean, it's just amazing, and it's clear, and he says, you know, I'm very invested in this.
He's trying to spin it.
Well, he's very invested in this election. I bet you're going to be, because you can feel that unless Biden comes in 6 months from now, you might be on the dock. Or at least deserved to be on the
I don't know that we'll ever prosecute Obama, but it's...
Well, you never know.
But I think,
I have a feeling it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And so it'll get to the point, really, where it got with Nixon, where they finally said, look...
Only not about Trump, about Obama.
About Obama, but, somebody will say, well, let's give him a pardon.
Well, but here's...
We don't want to set up that kind of presidents going after each other like Obama did.
But
Trump.
Here's what I think, though, what's significant about, so number two things from last week. Number one, we know now that Obama, with his own words and the words of people who are on his staff, know that he was fully aware of the attempt to set up and try to frame General Flynn and was encouraging that to go on and the investigation into Trump. We know that now, that it went all the way up to him. And he was, in fact, telling people about it and giving them marching orders.
And tell them to apprise him if anything comes
right.
up.
Right. Number two, the fact that he is now speaking publicly about this really for the first time, and the first time he's really speaking publicly about very much at all, and trying to condemn it and spin it, to me shows that he knows there is more to come. Otherwise, he would have just shut up, right? He hasn't talked very much about it, hasn't said anything about it, didn't comment when the Mueller thing went away, hasn't really commented about it at all. And here, he didn't even really leak it through intermediaries to the media. He leaked it, the media directly got his own words. So I think that whatever there is that Sean Hannity and other people keep talking about coming out, I think that it will continue to lead up to directly Obama. Otherwise, I don't know why he would be trying to spin it the way he was.
I agree. So what do we expect to come down the road, or what do we need to come down the road? Well, one, we need to come down the road documentation on the pre-July 31st, 2016 spying. That was when they opened up Crossfire Hurricane, but there's a lot of indications that the prior 4 years they were going through NSA database.
The corruption, exactly. Way before Trump.
So we need documents on exactly how much Obama's administration was spying on its political appoints and all of us. We need documentation finishing off that teetering portion of it where who hacked the DNC. We'd like to see that finally be totally shut down. And then what was Brennan's role? We know somewhat, but we haven't gotten as
head
well.
Of the former head of the CIA.
CIA. And that includes, you know, what were the roles of the governments in Britain, Australia, and Italy in all of this. So we need for all that to come out. It's kind of interesting that Durham now apparently has engaged two other U.S. attorneys, Jensen out of Missouri, who did the one on letting go of Flynn, and Shea in D.C. So he's got himself and three U.S. attorneys. And they all have those assistant U.S. attorneys and, you know, flocks of them in each of those offices. So they've got all the attorneys they probably need to really go to town. What I haven't heard is, do they have investigators, which is basically what the FBI does. They're called the Federal Bureau of
Investigation. Well, it sounds like Durham, though, has had some of his own investigators in there.
Well, I don't know what you mean by his own. He doesn't have any.
Well, I don't think he's flying around personally interviewing everybody. I think he's got people. Well, I don't know. I think.
Prosecutors don't like to do that because they lose their absolute immunity.
Oh.
And so he's got to have FBI agents do it. There's really no other group that, you know, you have U.S. Marshals or something, but it's really going to be FBI agents. The problem is, and that's of Columbus, yeah, that'd be a good group. Rolling Stones, anybody out there. But the problem, of course, is FBI agents are far less effective. Nobody's going to voluntarily talk to an FBI agent that has any sense at all. If you're the incoming director of national intelligence, you're a 3-star general and everything else, and you can't rely on the FBI to tell you the truth, saying, you know, you're not a target, you don't need an attorney. That means that anybody else in the world, if they come to you and say, hey, we just want just a couple questions, just clear up a couple points. You'd be insane to talk to them.
Right.
I mean, you'd be absolutely insane to talk to them. So, you know, FBI agents have job has just become exponentially harder because nobody in the right mind. And if you're an attorney, are you going to go in there with your client? No, you're not.
Well, and there's been some hint about a grand jury, but here's, I think, so sort of to wrap it up, what I think is, number one, we now know that starting back in 2012, the Obama administration had weaponized the National Security Agency and was essentially monitoring through the NSA databases anyone who wanted to, who had a political connection to the Obama administration.
That's what we got out of Clapper,
right?
Where he lied to Congress when he said, "No, we're not monitoring everybody." They were.
They were monitoring us. They were monitoring us. So number one, there's that illegally.
I don't know. It's illegal. It's allowed under the Patriot Act, and they're about to repass it with just the most pathetic reforms that are doing anything. But the second part about it, you know, after you conglomerate all this mega tregabytes bytes of information, then you gotta who's going to go through it? And so they had all these people, FBI contractors, who just, you know, tell us Trump, tell us everything on this phone number, tell us everything about.
Well, tell us everything on Chuck and Julie. So you've got that going on. Then
me point one other thing about the dossier. Now the dossier had
steel fake dossier.
Yeah, some of it was just gossip
garbage
all of it was made up, but some of it was rumors and gossip that Russians, usually not in Russia, but usually, you know, head of the Russian American Chamber of Commerce and other ones, you know, the real junk, and the P tape was that and others. But there are some other ones, like Michael Cohen being in Prague, that would only come from the NSA database.
Right.
And we find out there was Michael Cohen Prague, but it was not the Michael Cohen, the lawyer. It was some guy who was an architect or some other profession. And so obviously it was the government, our government, giving Steele information along with, you know, getting some everywhere else.
To compile. Well, and so what you have is to say it's a coup is doesn't even remotely come to it. You had a bunch of people going all the way up to President Obama, number one, making up investigations against anybody they thought they could use to get information on Trump. As it turned out, they weren't getting any information on Trump. So then they needed to continue the investigations to try to cover it up. And it would have worked, I think, had it not been for Sidney Powell. And had it not been, I believe, for Donald Trump himself, who kept pushing it, had it not been for people like Jim Jordan, Devin Nunes. And I'm sorry, you know, Lindsey Graham did a great job on Kavanaugh, but he's you know, here's my question, and then we're going to switch over a bit. Where were, so we know that starting in 2017 in the House Intelligence Committee, we had all of these Obama administration higher-ups saying, actually, no, we don't have any evidence of collusion. Then Adam Schiff would go out and hold a news conference and say, oh, my God, you won't believe
bombshell,
what we found. Collusion,
bombshell.
Bombshell, bombshell. Where were the Republicans? Why did the Republicans not come out and say, no, that's a bunch of garbage. That's not what we heard at all.
Well, you have to understand, they controlled the committee for 2017 and 2018.
Well, hello.
And they controlled the Senate today and back then. And, of course, they had the hideous stock manipulator Burr as their head of their Senate Intelligence Committee, and they had Grassley, the head of the judiciary, but they called not a single witness other than, you know, people that the Democrats
wanted.
Well,
at the very least, they could have at least come out and said, hey, everything Adam Schiff is telling you is a lie, and they're like, oh, we can't leak it. It's like, Adam Schiff was leaking it. So, and not, I guess it's, if you weren't depressed, enough about that, but the good news is the truth is coming out. I want to switch over now to talk about the reopen Colorado things. And I'd like to bring on, it's a little bit early, but hopefully she's listening, our good friend and fellow talk show podcast host, Karen Cataline. She has her show. Karen, if you want to unmute yourself and took your video up, she has a show every Friday. Actually, we're filling in for her this Friday, spouting off from noon to one here at BDS Radio. But Karen has been involved with, and I think sort of leading the Patriot charge to a great extent with some of her cohorts on reopening Colorado on May 1st. And Karen, I gotta say, I was thinking, oh, you know what? We can kind of relax a little bit. The government seems to be opening up. And then Polis today says on May 25th,
I'll think about it then, all you restaurants and everybody else and all the people with all these people with kids, you don't need to plan. You know, you just wait for my instructions on the 25th.
Even though we have no reason for that. So Karen, hello. Thank you for your time.
I would love to rant. In fact, I'm going to move into my office where there's less echo. But
okay.
I would love to rant about the talk show hosts, some of them, not you, who are accustomed to saying things like, oh, Polis is doing a pretty good job. At least he isn't shutting us down as much as other states.
Tell us, just between you and us, who said that?
I don't know if I want to say.
Oh, come on.
We're all friends. A lot of people.
Yeah, we do. Come on.
They're people I like.
No, it's okay. We like them too. Who was it?
Matt Dunn, George Brockler, a few folks. George Brockler, well, we'll have to, you know. Have to go.
George is George.
I like George. George
like
has.
George. I like George, but let's not chatter. Have him on your show. Okay?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
We'll have him on mine.
We'll speak.
We don't want to be speaking ill of people.
No, not that. I just want to speak.
Well, you told me, and so I usually go. Here's the thing.
Thank you.
I left my notes in the kitchen. There's so much to say, and I love that I knew you'd be all over the deep state stuff. My thing right now, just as an aside, is that I'm loving this dueling banjos, two of the most historic, massive stories in our lifetimes, and they're talking to each other. It's like, oh, you're going to shut down this state? Look what I'm going to show you about the deep state. I mean, I don't think it's quite that direct. But when you look at the juxtaposition of these two stories,
I agree,
stunning. And of course, who is the common denominator of both that is the major target? His name is Donald J. Trump.
Right.
And to watch this stuff unfold is just amazing, phenomenal what we're watching.
But with regard to that, I mean, talk about, when I was listening to Polis, today, the two coming together, there's Polis saying, I'm going to go see Trump,
And ask for more money. Which again is our money.
Which I'll give to me, myself, and my Democratic allies, Planned Parenthood.
Oh my God. And by the way, I have to do another thank you because this is a party at your place.
Okay.
Of Chuck and Julie. All I got to do is look at Chuck and Julie's Twitter feed and they give me an idea for show prep. Because, while I'm talking to you, I'm filling in for Alan Nathan right now.
Okay.
You didn't know that, did you? And I had Randy Corcoran on to talk about law. And I also had Kurt Schlichter on, on a moment's notice. He wrote the neatest piece.
It was great. I saw it.
It was so good. It says, we're winning. It was so funny. So well written. Smart man.
It's interesting, you know, and we'll tell folks, call in 888-627-608, or you can join us on Zoom, go to BBS, or go to chuckandjulie.com, and that'll send you to BBS Radio. So here's the thing, Karen, if folks have just joined, here's the update. There are restaurants, actually, that have been opening up all over, some more or less quietly, and I'll get to the Greeley situation in a minute. But the CNC Coffee and Kitchen opened up in Castle Rock over the Mother's Day weekend. We had Tara calling in. Thank you, Tara, saying there were like 500 people there. One guy said he got there and he filed a complaint because there are no people there. And my thing is, that's the way it should work. If you go to a place, any place, and you don't feel comfortable, you don't feel like maybe you're vulnerable, you're not safe, then you can go ahead and leave. That's fine. Or if you're a business and you're not sure if you want to open, you don't feel like it's going to be safe, don't open. But why should the rest of us be held hostage by what I believe to be the panic porn being spread by the corporate media and people like, and Poulos doesn't really spread it. He acknowledges that the virus isn't spreading, that it's not a problem, that hospitals aren't overwhelmed, that hardly anyone is dying from it in Colorado. And those who are, that rate is going down. So he's not even spreading panic porn. He's just saying we're going to arbitrarily.
It's just so much fun to be able to tell you all what to do.
Yeah.
And it's like a toll road, you know. Oh, we're only going to take control and we're going to charge you until we pay for it. Once they get control, they never give it up.
Oh, and what did they do with the HOV lanes? They changed it to three people. Just arbitrarily. Yeah. Now you got.
And then they said
no
HOV lanes for some of the other ones that are coming up on CDOT. Everybody pays. I don't care how many people you have in it.
Yeah.
It's all about money and control and power. And of course, your listeners know that. My listeners know that. And
what's going on in Greeley then? Let me
tell you what's going on, not only in Greeley, but in Weld County. As I was talking to you off the air, Julie, this is the biggest chess game there ever was.
Yeah.
And depending on wherever you live, if you know who your health department people are, if you know who your county commissioners are or your city council people, those are the people who are going to decide whether you have freedom or you don't. Because Poulos, while the buck stops with him, he wants to run for office, so he wants to pass the buck to the health department and other people so he can come back in 2022 or whenever it is and say, I was such a moderate governor.
Right.
I'm so fair. I'm a benevolent dictator. We need to smear him with this beyond all recognition because he deserves it.
Right. Right.
So what's happening in Weld County is that we have, except for one, I think, we have Weld County commissioners who are extremely conservative, and voila, they actually answer to the voters and have to get elected.
Right.
So we also have a position that we had. There was the one super lefty head of the Weld County Health Department that the Weld County commissioners actually appointed. Because, you know, before this coronavirus silliness, who cares?
Right.
So he's head of the health department. Well, now we know that leftist health department people have been installed in all of these places, similar to the way secretaries of state have been
and district
installed in all these places, because they're always plotting for more power, always, always, always. So, voila, you had Matt Smith on your program, who went to the county commissioners and said, if you do not listen to us and not only get rid of this guy, Dr. Wallace, but stand by us so that our businesses can open, we're going to protest you. And within a shake of a lamb's tail, they said to the businesses, we're not going to close you because we didn't open you. Or we're not going to close you, so we can't open you. So do what you want. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. I don't know why. But I know that Jason Salzman, who I was fighting with all last week, is really upset about it. And that is that Dr. Wallace decided to retire at the end of May.
Good for him. Good for him.
So because of that constellation, it is clear sailing in Weld County as far as business is concerned, but they're still really scared. So El Charro decided to open, and Fox 31 News, your old boss or your old network, reported it, that they didn't do it as a political statement. They did it because they thought they were allowed to, because they're so confused like everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
So That woman, I call her on the phone. It's El Charro in Greeley on 10th Street. I announced it on Randy Corcoran's program on Saturday. And the minute the word went out that she was doing not just open, but dining in, like right. a real restaurant, she was inundated beautifully. And I called her and I told her how much we support her and how much we want to drive business to her. And she was in tears, as most of these businesses are.
Here's, you know, I go back to when this started. We talked with Jeff Allen, who's the chief economic officer for the Greater Glendale Chamber of Commerce. Chief operating officer. And he said, you know, Chuck and Julie, many of these businesses, now this is back in March, right? Like March 16th. He was saying, you know, they can handle a month, maybe a little bit more than a month, but we're going on more than that. He said, much more than that. He said, they can't handle. They've got bills to pay, to reopen. I mean, he said, we are going to lose so many businesses. We need to open as soon as possible.
We already are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so Polis is now saying, oh, I'm going to decide on May 25th, even though there have been no problems. And I want to just briefly talk about, you know, my daughter traveled last week to Georgia. So Georgia has been open. And open, right? Since April 24th, right? You can go bowling in Georgia. Yay. People are getting their nails done. Kids are going to summer camp. I mean, it's open, basically, yeah. right? And she said that people there are like, the rest of the country is crazy. She said, we're fine. There haven't been any problems, any issues. The governor today was just tweeting out, everything is decreasing. There's been no surge or anything
and
like that.
And speak that, you know, Fauci and Bricks got Trump to condemn Kemp,
right?
You know, for opening up. And now, you know, who's proved right? It's Kemp.
Right.
Yeah, and it needs to be said, just in the case of Colorado, I've never been much of a numbers person. I'm not that much into math. But I looked at the number of deaths. We're talking about whether or not this virus that is being used as an excuse to impose socialism / communism on this country. And what's the exact fatality rate of this virus. You want to take I may have been changing numbers, but based on the numbers I looked at last night, we have 971 deaths from COVID-19. And that's not taking into account the number of people that were pressured into saying it was COVID when
right,
it was.
Right. That's...
And it's also reminding us that Governor Polis had to be pressured to say that almost half of those deaths we're in nursing homes where right. people often die regularly because they're right. 80 and 90 and 100 years old. Okay. And if they have such compassion for those elderly people, they wouldn't be having them die alone without
yeah,
dying.
Yeah, good
family.
Point.
I mean,
point.
If you think, Karen, if they were putting them on buses.
Let me just say the what I'm leading up to here. The percentage of fatalities is 0.016%. in Colorado. And for this, we are making Jen in the winery lose her home and become a homeless person. You must ask yourself, if they were not trying to destroy this country, destroy this state, everything they're doing is destroying it. So you must right. conclude, as Kurt Schlichter often says, what they are reaping or what they're rotting on people, whatever it is what they want to. And we never talk about their motives nearly enough.
Well, we'll get to their motives in a second. And again, folks, 888-627-6008. Let's talk a little bit more numbers, okay? Because one statistic that I think, and I tweeted this, we all need to keep our eye on, is the CDC, the numbers from the CDC have shown that in the first 4 months of this year, the number of deaths in this country from any and all causes is not up. It's a little bit more than it was last year, but less than it was 2 years ago.
And very much less for the flu.
Right.
Yeah.
And the actual number of people who died is the exact same number of people who would have died, whether we had coronavirus or didn't have coronavirus, whether we had lockdowns or didn't have lockdowns. I mean, it has made no difference. And so it's time to quit talking. You know, the mainstream media wants to talk about models now. Forget the models. We have actual data, like you said, and inflated figures. And even the inflated figures show that there is nothing wrong with reopening the economy. And it's not as if Polis is saying, let's take all the people in the nursing home and let's send them down to the Water's Edge winery. We're going to send them to restaurants and force them to go in, right? He's not, that would be a problem. But if healthy people want to go in themselves. And if a business says, I feel comfortable opening, you know, to me, it is insanity.
They've spent a month and a half scaring the hell out of people.
Yeah.
And I want you to know some of the trips that I took in Greeley and in Weld County. Mm-hmm. After El Charro opened, I visited restaurants in person in Greeley and Weld County, and it was fascinating what I found. It was an interesting story. Okay. I went to one of the most popular mom-and-pop Italian restaurants, and it's funny how they were working their tails off because they don't have much staff, but when you start telling them, we're behind you, there are people raising money in case you have trouble, it's clear sailing in Greeley and in Weld County, and we can be a model for the rest of the state.
Yes.
Suddenly they stop what they're doing and they talk to you. And
yes.
They say, and I would encourage anybody in Weld County in particular, you have to look at your particular constellation. For example, Jen in Arapahoe County, she did what she could do given that they have such leftists in the Tri-County Health Department.
Right.
In Greeley, again, there's safety in numbers, and we must open these businesses now, because if we don't, the food chain is breaking down, and there won't be food to put on those tables in those restaurants. And I don't mind telling you that Jared Polis is a smart man. He is not doing this alone. The Democrat Party all over this country are marching in lockstep and rubbing their hands with glee about the downfall of the Trump economy. What
right.
they don't understand is Trump is not going to be blamed for this. They will be blamed for this, hopefully, when people understand who is the party that cares about their freedom and who is the party who wants to shut them down. In Weld County, people are opening. In Denver and Boulder, they have mask rules that you could go to jail for not wearing a mask.
And it's just, you know, I have long submitted, people are going to quit doing that pretty soon because it's a pain. Everybody knows it doesn't work. And it's not going to, and it's going to start getting warm. I think, you know what, I'll tell you a little bit of my kind of going around. What I noticed this morning was the stores, and it's not all the stores are open. And I get that if you're, say, like TJ Maxx, or something like that, or Barnes and Noble, you probably have corporate policies.
Chains are the ones that can't open because they have as much bureaucracy as governments do. Right.
Exactly. But a lot of the businesses that were, not a lot of, all of the businesses that were open, and this was at 10 o'clock in a rainy morning, there were cars in front of, right? And I go back to, my thing is, because I know, you know, you look on social media and people are like, oh, you're killing people. It's like, no, we're not, number one. So just knock that off. That's nonsense. Number
it's
two,
nonsense.
If you don't want to go, don't go. Don't vote with your feet, right? And
just, well, you do understand the illogic, at least the illogic in their mind is you get COVID-19 in there. And then you give it off to somebody else who gives it off.
But here's their argument, though. It needs herd immunity anyway. We can't stay locked down.
Well, that's a logical argument.
Right. We can't stay locked down until, like I said, we have eradicated every virus forever.
Yeah, but that's such a lie. And even smart people are buying into the propaganda and the fear mongering. I know somebody, I spoke about her this morning, who's a smart, smart woman and has young children. And she has a hair salon in another state. She said, well, my mask protects you from me, and your mask protects me from you. I said, if you're wearing a mask, you're protected. And she would hear none of it. And then she said a couple things interesting. She said, oh, I think we should all be wearing masks through the whole cold and flu season. And I thought about that for a minute, and I realized this is a helicopter mom. Because when she said, well, if we can prevent it, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
And I told her a story from my own book about my mother, who sent me to day camp in a red plaid jumper and a white Peter Pan collar and black patent leather shoes and white anklets. And my teacher, I was in JCC day camp. I'm telling you, it's a true story.
Okay.
My beloved teacher had a chat with my mother, the beauty pageant, baby beauty pageant mom, and said, you got to let her get dirty.
Yeah.
You got to let her play and be a kid and be a girl. And she was sure that she convinced my mother to let me get dirty and play. The next day, she sent me to camp in a blue plaid
oh, there you go.
Totally
jumper,
different.
Black patent leather shoes, and white anklets.
Yeah,
so
totally
that, when you appeal to mothers, and Julie, and you're a mother and you're a father, and you worry about your kids, and you don't realize that you're killing them with that kind of overprotection.
Oh, sure. No, kids, I mean, that's, anybody who's had a kid knows, you know, you go to daycare, and, you know, for the first, like, year or two, everybody gets every cold and sniffle and strep throat known to humankind, right? And then yes. Hopefully you don't get head lice. I mean, that, we don't even go there. But it's, I mean, it's...
Head lice?
Yeah, well, that's daycare centers. You get these horrible emails. You're like, I digress. But you're okay. Right. The thing is we have immune systems, and that's what they're there for. Let me care.
You're supposed to work.
What can people do? Because I know Colorado Freedom Force is doing some fundraising. If I'm a restaurant, well, let me back up. One thing I wanted to say beforehand, kind of in defense of the Tri-County Health Department, we had Randy on the show, Randy Corporan, a lawyer, grassroots lawyer, who represented Jen Hulan, the owner of the Water's Edge Winery, who Arapahoe County shut down. But they met with Tri-County, and I thought, this is very interesting. Tri-County said, hey, look, we're trying to get answers from Polis too. We can't get any guidance, any information, anything from him.
Well, because Polis doesn't know what he's talking about.
Because he doesn't care where I'm going with it. Is he doesn't care what he's talking
about. It's purposefully vague, you understand.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a
right.
good point. Yeah. Well, it's I don't know.
No,
just
they
watching
do this
Polis,
on purpose.
The
Polis
show today was awful.
People have been de-educated about civics. So they don't know the difference between a recommendation and a law. So yeah. When Polis says something, they're scrambling to do it. And it is more than time that we engage in civil disobedience en masse. En
right.
masse.
Right.
That is what's going to get the job done. And people can support Greeley restaurants, who will be at the forefront because we have a looser, more freedom-loving place. And look at us. There are a lot of restaurants that could open right now and are still not.
Right.
Because they're afraid either they'll get sued. The amount of misinformation that I heard from restaurants, most of them are not political. They just want to feed their family. They just want to do their business and be left alone. And now the government is not leaving them. I went to a Nepalese restaurant, the only Nepalese restaurant in Greeley. And I felt so embarrassed when I went in there. Because one guy was real political and one wasn't. And I said, you know, I love that you're here doing an ethnic restaurant. And I am so sorry because this is not America. This should not be happening to you.
And no, should not be happening to any of us. Karen.
Any of us.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you so much.
Can I plug my show?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Which you will be filling in. Audio, not video. I do audio talk radio. And so I'm so delighted, and thank you.
My pleasure.
We're going to celebrate our one-year anniversary, or
Yay!
Our eight-year anniversary, whichever you. And we decided to go to South Dakota because they believe in freedom. So we'll be in South Dakota looking at Crazy Horse and going to
Good
Deadwood
for you.
And all
Great
that.
Great governor there. Wish we had her here.
That's why we're going. And we're going to South Dakota the way that I hope Denver listeners will take a drive up to Weld County.
Yeah.
And go to El Charo and all the other restaurants and beg them to open.
It's not right. It's just a hip, a little bit of a skip and a jump. It's not, you know, the Weld County border is really close to Denver. So
take 85. It's faster.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Karen,
Thanks, Karen.
You so much.
Thanks. Love
Have
you
both. Have a great trip. Have a great
Bye-bye.
Trip.
All right. Well, we got lots of people calling. So let's go right to it. Let's go to Joan from Denver on line two. Joan?
I just love this. Your program is super duper. You know, I listened to you for years on 710, and so glad that you've come, you know, have this for us to be together.
Yeah.
I just want to mention that King Polis is traveling to D.C. Mm-hmm. to meet with President Trump this week to beg for more federal COVID-19 federal disaster relief funds.
Right.
And so I'm urging people to email the whitehouse.gov/contact mm-hmm. and tell him, obviously, don't give him any more money. Open Colorado. It's a month ago, I heard that Trump said masks are not necessary. And then I got an email from the Jefferson County Women's Club that had Moskowitz's many points in her YouTube. And
right.
Anyway, masks help you rebreathe all the germs that you've already got in your lungs if you have a problem. If you don't have a problem, you're not giving it to somebody else, okay? So actually, masks hurt or create more COVID-19 incidences, okay? So we don't have, like you just said, the statistics. Karen just said brilliantly. So please have Trump give Pull us no money.
Nothing.
Please.
Nothing.
No money till you come to your senses. Now, that's a good point, yeah. Joan.
Okay.
Thanks, Joan.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you for listening.
All right, let's go to Jacob from Denver. Jacob's on line one. Hello, Jacob.
Hi, can you hear me?
We sure can.
You bet.
When I was a kid and when my kids were kids, if they got or we got chicken pox, the neighbors would bring their kids over and have them catch. That was the old way of getting rid of chicken pox.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's what we should have done today.
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing is, Karen would have appreciate this. We may have even had the same pediatrician. Our doctor believed that we had a pediatrician, but anyway, so he was into vitamin S, and we called it vitamin schmutz.
Oh.
Let the kid get picked up off the floor. And let them put it to their mouth because they'll develop an immunity.
Right.
And that's why we grew up healthy.
Yeah.
Well, no, exactly. Yeah. You're exactly right.
It's called the human immune system.
Right. It's a remarkable thing when we just let it work as it should.
You hide in a bubble and you go outside and you're in trouble.
I know. What do you make of all this mask stuff, Jacob? I want to talk about that for a second. What do you make?
I wear it just to make everybody else happy. That's all.
Yeah.
But
Karen's
right. You're not gonna develop an immune system to anything if you keep breathing clean air.
All right, Jacob, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. 888-627-6008 is the number of folks who want to call. You know, with the mask, you're absolutely, I mean, it was not that long ago that Dr. Fauci himself was saying in 60 Minutes that masks are worthless, right?
Now
they're mandated. And I think, you know, I have friends who are in the medical industry and they're like, cloth masks don't do anything. And I think it has become, and this is what they're doing, the left has to be, you know, them trying to make it like racist, that didn't work, right? At first it was racist, so that didn't work. And now they're just trying to do, it's a whole new virtue signaling / social shaming, social engineering. So and I think I agree with Jacob. I made a decision. I'm going to do it for a little while at the stores because I don't want to
make some clerk. Man.
But at a certain point, and I'm getting close. I'm just going to say no. I'm not going to. And if your store requires it, I won't go there. But we got Barney now. You're calling. And hey, Barney, good afternoon. Happy Monday.
Hi, Chuck and Julie. Just haven't had the stomach for calling, but I got to agree with Jacob for once. That's amazing. So you take these masks and you slobber all, even if it was the real mask, not the bandana, not the whatever, you're going to slobber on it all day long and you're going to put it back on. Everybody's got, and they're going to sit there and they're going to ferment. I just can't wait to see what kind of illnesses we're going to have
from
wearing these stupid masks. It's idiotic. And you know, look at these football players and these basketball players. You guys are supposed to be the studs, and you're afraid of getting a little bitty old virus. And Jacob's right. You know, you guys are supposedly the superstars of the human race, and you're all a bunch of suckies. I mean, give me a break.
No, they're 25 years old, in great shape, and if they got coronavirus, they'd probably get a cough.
I haven't even known.
God help them if you stuck a needle in their foot or something. I mean, what a bunch of crybabies. I bikers to me have always been the biggest. I sat in an emergency room once. I saw bikers. I shouldn't call people sissies. But you know what? You guys are a bunch of sissies. Anyway, love you guys.
All right.
Thank you, Barney. I listen on the radio or I listen on the phone, but I've been with you. I just haven't called. So.
All right. Well, hey, love that. People
love
no mask. No mask. Karen's right. No mask.
No mask. All right. Freedom.
No mask.
Freedom.
No mask.
No mask. No,
no mask.
That's great.
No mask. Hey, well, thanks, Barney.
Well, I want to go into Synergenics for just a second. That's the program I'm on with Judy McCallum. You get all the system back, all the vitamins
it's a health
you need.
Program.
It's an anti-aging program or aging gracefully. Instead of being 50, but really 70 in age, you can be 50 and 40 in age, at least biological age. It's hormones. It's everything you need, including diet, particularly diet and exercise. She tests, and you really become healthy again. And it's a tremendous program, Peter Boyles, and I couldn't recommend it more. The number to call is 720-387-3681. Tell them Chuck and Julie sent you. It's a tremendous program. And if you just want to go online, read all about it, go to Cenegenics, C-E-N-E, and then Genics. And do that Denver, and you'll get right on it. And
it's a great program.
You know, Julie McCallum will talk to you personally. That'll be the best day, best thing you've ever done for yourself.
That's right. Well, and you know, we're going to keep on keeping track. I have a feeling, and I hope I'm right here, Chuck. What do you think? Because we just have a few more minutes left. I have a feeling that Paulus is going to have to make a decision sooner than May 25th. I have a feeling that as more and more people get out, more and more people realize no one is dropping dead. You know, you don't have to hope and pray if you go to a restaurant that you kill someone just by being there. You might in a crash on the way there. But I think that the foolishness and the sheer silliness of this is going to outweigh the panic porn. And again, like that doctor who tweeted the picture, everyone's frightened, and Fox picked it up on this United flight. No, they weren't. If they were frightened, they wouldn't have been on the flight in the first place, right? So I think that common sense is, I just hope, because I'm optimistic, but it's going to prevail sooner rather than later.
I don't think Polis really is, you know, until maybe other people. I mean, you know, we love some of the radio announcers that Karen said, but really, if to go and say, isn't Polis doing a great job? It really is.
No.
Not good.
No. Not good. Well, I mean, he's not. Here's the reality. None of them are doing a great job, right? This virus seemed to do what it was going to do. All of the models were wrong. I guess it was good that we kind of geared up, but we didn't need, we're still spending, what, millions and millions of dollars on all these additional health facilities that they built in Colorado that have never been used before.
And now there's going to be a huge glut on ventilators, which cost $30,000 to $50,000.
We got all these ventilators. Yeah.
It's like sports cars. They're very expensive. And you also have to maintain them, you know. And they're going to have thousands, tens of thousands of ventilators for which, you know, it's only good when you get pneumonia because it allows you to have your lungs done artificially. Other than that, you know, it doesn't do you much good.
I said oxygen is better. And again, I go back to the CDC numbers. The first 4 months of the year, no more deaths than there are in any other year. And so I guess I would submit, I don't even think Trump, you could say, did a good job. It did what it was going to do. It does what these kinds of things always do. And the very sick and the very vulnerable and that's sad.
Well, you know, both of us have had parents that had to go to nursing homes, and that last part of that experience in a nursing home is not good. And if my parents could have died 3 months earlier, both my mother and my father, it would have been a blessing because they had a torturous death. And so did a lot of people in nursing homes those last few months. So, you know, it can be a one in which very ill people don't have to spend the remaining few days in torture.
Well, and even if you don't want to, my thing is, it wasn't politics that saved us, right? I think it was just, I mean, neither politics. And I think politics right now, the politics of this is hurting us. And once again, as we said here before, it's time to reopen. Hey, before we take off, I want to remind you, you can catch our podcast at chuckandjulie.com. Love to have you subscribe to us on YouTube. We're getting closer all the time to our goal there. So we can bring
thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you to everybody. Chuckandjulie.com. Check out ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
Great. You gotta go to it. Honestly, you gotta go to it. Every day, check it a couple times. I do. And it's the one blog I can count on in Colorado.
And we'll see you on Wednesday.
See you Wednesday.